My number one advice for everybody 15 to 25 that's watching this right now is understand before you're 35, do as many random fucking things as humanly possible to see the thing that really gets you fucking going.
Attention is the number one asset.
Vayner Nation, what is good? Another episode of Podcast with Friends is here. Big shout out to everybody who's watching on YouTube Live. We've been Twitching these, but now I'm testing a little YouTube Live. As I continue to live my thesis of like always trying new things, I have three lovely guests here. We're gonna introduce them and we're gonna get into like a serious kind of chat, which I think is fun, and I'm really excited about it. So let's always start with the ladies first. And so we'll go around the horn. So for a quick minute, maybe you, Julie, you could tell everybody who you are and what you do, and then we'll do it and we'll get into the chat.
Okay, cool. I'm Julie Hendricks. I am the founder and CEO of Body Vodka, which is a lower proof vodka. It's 60 proof, so three vodka or body drinks is like having two normal drinks. And before all of this, I actually started making memes in 2011 or 12. So I kind of built up my internet presence doing that and really understanding virality and internet culture. And so I've used that in this business, which has been super fun. And this is my big project right now.
Good for you.
Amazing. What's up, guys? My name is Hunter Cloudis. And I should preface by saying, I think it's so important that you have this in the bag. So if you're watching right now, it's so important when people say, hey, what's your name? What do you do? It's an important skill to have. And I don't think that people spend enough time necessarily developing that skill.
People are inherently selfish and lack curiosity.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
You know, obviously I'm doing it because it's the format of the show. But
right.
I'm glad you called that out because I think, you know, it was something I've always done. Now that people, quote unquote, may know who I am, I'm always, I guess, sad when people are so surprised that I even ask about them. It like just speaks to like what I don't want in the world anymore.
No, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People were surprised in real life prior to me having notoriety. Now it's like, I don't like when you get a platform or you get known, you get credit for shit you're supposed to do. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like that you decided to call that out. I think you're right. Obviously, it's incredibly proper to do in a podcast format, but I think day to day, or even doing it to strangers, I really do believe like the airport is one of my favorite places because I'm willing to get into like serendipitous conversations by just being nice to someone in a world where everyone's like very stressed at the airport.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 1,000%. I'm over in Times Square and I walked over here just about a mile and I, one lady out of the thousands of people that I passed smiled at me and goodness, I needed it and I didn't know I needed it. And I think we can be that one smile for people even if we never say a word to them. But anyway, yes, my name's Hunter Cloudis. And I guess professionally, I'm an actor. I'm coming off of a TV show called All American, but I'm also a public speaker and streamer on Twitch, Cloudis on Twitch. But yeah, I was just talking to some of Gary's team, and I think my answer out there was I'm a human on a mission to find my purpose by helping others find theirs. And I like that one more. So hopefully as the show goes on, you learn that side of me more. Because professionally is what it is, but I like the personal side of me way more.
Good for you.
Yeah, beautiful to hear. Yeah, so my name is Rico Verhoeven, and I'm the Glory Kickboxing Heavyweight World Champion for the last decade.
Wow.
So that's been going really well. And next to that.
Anytime you can hold your belt for a decade, that's always a good idea.
Yeah, that's pretty,
I would say that's going well.
Yeah, that's going pretty well. But I think also very interesting is that for the last like 8 years, I've already been thinking about my career after being an athlete, because being an athlete comes with an expiry date.
Yeah. That's right.
So next to that, I'm also an entrepreneur and also slowly trying to get into acting.
There you go. Well,
so,
hang for you.
Yeah. So good stuff. Enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And I literally just came off of a Glory Grand Prix 8-man tournament last weekend. So I had 3 fights in one night. That was insane.
What?
Like I think the heaviest.
Fights my whole life.
My heaviest like night so far for since I've been fighting. So it's
wow.
It's been good. Good to be here.
In the last decade that you've held the belt, what was the most in danger you were to losing it?
I think that was in 2021. I got sloppy and
somebody caught you.
It got caught and it literally like opened my eye, and like during the fight it just started up swelling and it like literally closed it. So I was barely seeing with one eye. But still finished the fight, and I finished the guy in the fourth round, so it was good.
Did you underestimate the opponent, or is it just you're a human being and one, you know, the tough thing about fighting is one lapse moment and there it is?
No, I got comfortable.
Yeah.
I got comfortable, so I think that's
What round did that happen in?
The second one.
Right, so in the first round you're like, okay, I got this.
And yeah. Then,
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think you know what's so funny? Let's build on that.
Yeah.
Let's use complacency as a topic. Just curious for you two, we'll get back to you in a second. You know, I talk rarely about this, as you know, Dustin, but I know that my 28th year, 28 to 29, was disproportionately the year I was most complacent with my career. I'd just done so much for my dad's liquor store. I knew I had it.
Yeah.
I knew I had it. 22 to 28, professionally, was my first round.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had it. I was like, I'm gonna be great. Yeah. And so, you know, whether I was tired or maturing or complacent or what have you, it's just very clear to me there's one year, 22 to 40, in my 26 year career that feels very different on the energy that I put out.
Yeah.
And it's literally my 28th year. And curious for you two, anything stand out in your life or specifically professionally, because I think that narrows it, that you can think through on complacency, or like, do you think about it, or are you scared of it, or does it happen often and you go hot and cold? Like when I frame that up, what comes to mind?
Well, I always have done like a variety of different things. So like I started out making memes, and then I was DJing, and then I had a podcast. This was like 2016. And then I tried acting. So I've kind of just pursued every passion.
You're a renaissance woman.
Trying to be. Every passion that I've...
I'm very similar. You like doing that.
I like, when I'm interested in something, I'll do it. Like, I have no fear. I'm just like, let's do it, let's go. Like, with the vodka company, I just called distilleries and was like, I want to make a vodka. Like, zero.
Wait,
like,
you're not scared of the no?
Never.
Or the judgment?
Only in my personal life.
You are. I get it.
My work life.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I think, like, I'm at a point now where I think I need to really develop in my personal life.
Those tactics.
Yeah, in order to be able to, like, really, you know, be as successful as I want to be and be like both personally and professionally, right? And so complacency, I don't think I was ever really complacent, but I think now I'm operating at a where I'm like my output is a lot better because I'm, you know, I did the personal work, or I'm doing the personal work, and I've also like at a place in my career where I know, you know, what I want to be and what I want to do, and I think I was still discovering for so many years.
Very cool. Thoughts, brother?
Love it. And I love that we're self-aware enough to be able to pinpoint. I think it's wild that you can do it to the year.
Only because I've always been like so, you know, so I'm actually weirdly detached from my career.
Yeah.
I have this really weird relationship with my career. It's like my passion. I literally sit here for 12 hours a day, and it's like, it'd be like for somebody skiing or cooking or watching movies. Like, it's my favorite thing to do, to grind and build, like building Legos. It's like, that's how I think about it. But I have a very good relationship with it.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think me being successful or counter when I have micro failures, I don't think it defines me. And I think people are too tied up into their professional life as their full identity. And I have it's so weird because I'm so off the top of like, there's Gary Vee and all this stuff, and like, it's almost like Clark Kent and Superman. It's almost like literally how I think about me working and me living. Mm-hmm. It's like two totally different things, and I have so much more of my emotion wrapped up into who I am as a human than who I am as a professional.
Yeah,
and I think that that's why. So, but anyway, so I get to like almost analyze my career from like the outside. So the reason I know 28, it's almost like. Me looking at me like I look at like an athlete and be like, oh, that fourth season, you weren't that good.
Yeah,
that's like me talking to me. Yeah.
But it's just like constantly like in life, it's just self-reflection.
100%.
Yeah.
Always. And back to self-awareness, certain things. Right now, all four of us have a real blind spot we don't see that we will know later.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah, I think the micro complacency could be found, like, goodness, every day, whether it's in the gym, you know, when I, my third set wasn't as good as my fourth. And all that adds up. I think everything we do goes on our personal resume, even if it doesn't professionally get shared. Like, it, what you do matters. What you do matters. I think professionally, like macro, big picture, I think I got somewhat comfortable on the show I was on. It was called All American, and it became wildly successful. It was during the pandemic that really helped us, quite frankly, because everyone was at home watching Netflix, and All American was the number one show on the number one streaming platform. So just overnight, like my life, like I hit. And
how old were you?
This was maybe 27, 28. And then I would say over the past, when that show came to an end for me, it was back to a life that I hadn't lived over the past 5 years. Business meetings, auditions, things of that nature, where when I was on top.
When you when that was hitting, in year three, four, and five of that, did you think you wouldn't have to do that anymore, and like that this platform would allow things to come to you versus you going and having to fish for it?
Yeah, I think there was a little
Sense.
Yeah, no, I think
I would have thought that.
I think there was a little bit of that. I think you're like, okay, cool. I'm series regular. I have the number one show on the number one platform. Like, when this is over, I'm just gonna, they're gonna be calling me.
Yeah, of course.
And it was really cool.
Did you have a gut punch in did you have like a moment of self-doubt where like, wait a minute, everyone in this game of Hollywood was able to see me and all this stuff, and they're not calling as much. Do they deem me not good? Was there a moment of that?
Man, if there was, it was a split second.
Yeah.
I really try and control what I can control, because that's not on me, and just always bring the best product forward, whether, you know, no matter what I'm doing, I just try and bring my best and the best. But no, it was eye-opening in a sense that I thought it would be a lot different. And I think sometimes when we reach certain heights, we perhaps have this preconceived notion of what it's gonna be, and it rarely is that. And I think our ability to adapt on the fly is imperative. And I think that we are all able to do that. And I think everyone is able to do that, but it does require practice and trust in yourself. And I think you can develop trust in yourself by the actions that you do. So if we go back to the micro, it is the sets in the gym that I'm able to attack that allow me to know professionally over the next decade, I'm gonna be fine.
Professionally, I'll start with you, Julie. What do you think your biggest challenge is right this nanosecond? Like something that you're like, not that it keeps you up at night, though it may, but might be like, fuck, if I just crack this, my vodka is gonna kill Tito's and I'm gonna crush everything. Like, or like, you know, like that pain, whether it's an annoyance or a genuine like, fuck, I'm worried about this. Like, what is that for you right now?
For me, I feel like it's just personally, like, I think it's worthiness. Like, I think I have to really like work on that.
On what?
Worthiness.
Worthiness.
Like, knowing that I'm like worth getting this money that someone's investing, or like worth getting these stores. I think like for me.
Oh, interesting. Your relationship with you.
Yeah. I think that's my biggest.
Well, it's so
interesting. I don't think it's like professionally because I.
So do you deem that as your personal life? Because it was interesting. You said like, I lack. Yeah. And I want to jump into it because I think it's really interesting where you're going. You're not scared to start.
No.
So you lack the fear of other people's judgments if things fail, which is huge.
Yeah.
But your relationship with yourself, once it gets going, is challenging?
I think always my relationship with myself is challenging, and that's something that like I work on every day.
Break down this juxtaposition that you have, that you have this level of insecurity that you have with yourself, yet this incredible confidence to try things. That's a really interesting paradigm.
I think it's the Leo Capricorn in me.
Okay, break it down for me.
I don't really know how to, I mean, I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest, but I think on it's
the part,
like.
On the part that you're like insecure or whatever, right? That really does reflect to worrying about someone's judgment besides your own. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And or that was instilled in you.
Definitely. It's like, you know, how I grew up, like things that happened to me in my life, like other businesses I've had or worked on, you know, I think all of that.
You mean those failures?
Not so much the failures. I think it's just, the situations that happened at during those times, I guess, but it's like, it's really
relationships with people.
Yeah.
Like people fucking you or this, that kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. Or things I would do differently, but it's like, it's not about failure. Like I'm a very open person. I've got nothing to hide. I'm like, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say everything's like, shiny when you start a business.
You're sitting here bringing a lot of value to people right this nanosecond.
Yeah. But I would say, I mean, I think that.
Like break it down for me. Like you get an account.
Yeah.
and you don't like you and you like aka your vodka is now going to be sold in an establishment, yeah. and you walk out and say, did I deserve that?
No, it's not like on that small okay. level, I would say. Like right. it's much more of like a larger
Got
thing.
It.
It's sort of just like, I think that your subconscious obviously plays a huge part in how you show up every single day,
100%.
How you react to things. So I think for me, that's something I'm constantly aware of. And I have to remind myself like, oh, am I reacting from this place of feeling unworthy or am I reacting from who I actually am? So I think I've like learned those tools. And so like that, I think is going to be like the biggest reason why I know my business will be successful. Cause
Clearly.
I believe in my product wholeheartedly. There's nothing like it on the market. You know, it's creating something new. People love it. It's really all about like distribution and sales. Like we have the other stuff on lock and I know we'll get there. So it's just like, I have like so much faith in that, but I think it's just like, I work on every day, like making sure that like my mind is right to be able to do that. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Brother.
Can you rephrase the question?
In the framework of your professional career.
Yes.
Or your ambitions, whether you're trans, like he may go into like, what does he want? It is, he may frame it as his next transition or he may stick within what he's doing now. But for you, what do you think is most kind of like nagging at you or a struggle or like something that you're aware of, like stopping you from achieving what you think you want? Or like, you know, she could have said like, I know that if we get caught, get like she could have went very nano. She went to a place I love, which is Foundation, this. But she could have said like, these big distributors don't, like you yeah. get in and like, I don't get attention, because I grew up in liquor. I'd be like, okay, well here's your, like, you know, like I'm just curious of what people are like thinking about. You know, like I'll go. I have 2,000 employees at Boehner X. We're on the verge of becoming the most important marketing company in the world. And I just need my people to be scared less of losing clients. Mm. That the second I can't get them to believe me that if they lose clients, they won't get fired. I've been on a 14-year mission. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
fear.
Yeah.
The elimination of fear of 2,000 people that work in a shitty industry where everywhere else acted one way and I'm acting different. They don't trust me. It's like a dog that's been scolded.
But I don't think that it's as much about you, but it's just as much about the industry, because that's
and then,
what's happening
course,
now. Everybody's so negative that, oh, if you fail, you get cut off and you have to start over again.
Riga, to your point, yeah. I know it's not me. I know every interaction I've had with my most senior people. I know the unlimited examples I gave them to trust me. It's shedding 20 or 30 or 15 or 10 years of bad behavior elsewhere that they're scolded by.
Yeah.
Not letting those people that screwed you up in the past dictate how you make a decision. Like
exactly.
if you might be scared to bring someone in because you're like, last time I brought someone in, they fucked me.
Yeah.
Like to your point. So that's it. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think being aware of the changing markets, especially for me.
I apologize for interrupting, but I want to give some love to YouTube Live. Alana Leso said, Leo Capricorn, I get it.
Love that.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's the changing markets. It's understanding that this is a viable solution to be an actor. And it's like, well, wait, this is a podcast, but it's still at the heart of show with a production team. And the way we can, if our goal is to be great storytellers and compel human beings to ask questions that perhaps without us, they wouldn't have gone so deep or had the same perspective. If that is our true goal, then understanding that there's no one person that can stop us from doing it, because we all have cell phones and we all have the ability to click go live.
Got it. So putting the romance of distribution.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you, by the way, it's the number one thing I believe is happening with actors.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you doing something that's, it's almost like being a retailer. So when I built my dad's business, I went all in on .com. Mm-hmm. And the amount of liquor stores that did not want to do .com because it's not how they saw the world. They're like, no, a store is a store. I remember having literally, I remember in 2001 having a conversation with a guy and he's like, how many stores do you have? It was like a liquor store convention thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, one, but our .com, I feel like we have many. And he goes, kid, you have one. I go, sir, I have one with a website that I feel gives us more location. He goes, kid, a website's not a store. I go, sir, websites are the only store.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then he got a little nasty and I'll I'm obviously not using his name. And then I got very nasty, which was, I said, sir, how many stores do you have? 13. I go, how much revenue are you doing? He said, 21 million. I said, that store that you just made fun of called the .com does twice as much as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the retail version of the romance that I see actors saying, I've got to be on this. Really?
Yeah.
Because if you're talking, especially if you're an actor who chases fame, the people that are on this are way more famous than the people that are not.
Yeah, man. 100%. Yeah.
Got it. Rico, what about you, bro?
I think for me, it's on multiple levels. But like, for example, now, that's most accurate is, for example, last weekend we did the Ape Man Grand Prix and the organization wanted me to be in it just to hype it because it came back, because it was something they did more in the past in Japan and now they brought it back. The whole,
where was this?
The Grand Prix last weekend was in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that happened, that happens, is that because I've been champion for so long, I don't know how, but I make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I fight, oh, Rico's gonna win. Now I had three fights. Oh, he'll do it. This is gonna be an easy night. Well, let me tell you, this wasn't an easy night. But yet again, like we just talked about, is still I'm making mistakes, and I can look back at it because in that third fight, I was smashing the guy in the first round. And in the second round, I was still smashing him. But I got sloppy, maybe too comfortable. And he surprised me with a spinning back fist. And I went down.
Mm.
Like, and I was so far ahead. And then luckily, I recovered. This guy came at me with everything he had for another 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he was done. And then I ran over him and he quit. So,
do you feel at this point that it sounds like you might be in a place that I was with gambling, where I used to gamble as a kid, like nothing crazy, like I didn't like, but I would gamble. I liked it. It was the one thing I would do. I'd go to Vegas like one weekend a year. I'd work every minute, but me and my friend Rob Moose, we'd go to Vegas one weekend. We would literally gamble. Like that's what we wanted to do. Not golf, not anything else, like no clubs, like gamble. And I liked it. It was fun. It was a good escape and reset for me to go back to work hard. And then something happened where I couldn't win enough money to get excited, but I could lose enough money to be upset.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wonder if you're
this is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, this is what you're saying. You're saying, look, I just won this tournament, but yet, because it's so expected, the high of winning the tournament was only here, but had I lost, the loss.
Wow, I'm getting goosebumps because I literally drove back with my girl. We were in the car, and she was driving. I was looking at her, and she was looking back at me. I said, like, I don't know why, but for some kind of reason, it's
not exciting.
I'm not on that level.
Yeah.
I probably, if I would have lost,
I would be
devastated.
Correct.
And I said, like this moment that we're here right now in the car, listening to music, having fun, I said, weighs so much heavier to me than that thing that I literally wrote history with an hour before. It's insane.
Rico, educate me a little bit. Are there other leagues that you could go into where the competition is either elevated or similar? Are there any challenges left? Or do you feel like you're in a place where like you're getting excited about the acting and the other stuff? Like what's going on with that?
Yeah, 100%. We are the number one stand-up combat sports. So there's no one better. So like we've been dominating the sport for so long, but like you said, like I've been doing this since 6 years old. So my dad literally like brought me to the gym and got me excited for it, and doing it for all those years, now I'm getting so much more excited being, for example, on set doing something new.
Of course.
Like working
is it cliche? Do you like see yourself as like an action star of the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. That's cool.
And it's so much fun. I actually did start in my first Hollywood movie last year, Black Lotus, next to Frank Grillo. And also another movie coming out this year, Den of Thieves Pantera, with Gerard Butler, in which I have a significant part in as well. It's it gets me so excited.
It's new.
Speaking of exciting,
what do you consume currently? From a podcast, music, television, streaming, social, you know, what right now has your attention? What are you consuming?
Just all TikTok, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on it for like an hour or two a day. Wow.
That's it?
It's a lot.
Oh, I think
well, before bed. I mean, it's like I'm busy, you know, working through the day. But
yep.
I mean, before, like, I started getting all my information really early on from Twitter. Like, yes. I knew every single thing that was happening from that.
Yep.
Obviously, then it was Instagram. And then, yep. you know, now it's like if you want to know in a millisecond what's going on, it's just TikTok,
yep.
right? So I'm constantly on TikTok. I would say I don't really watch TV, and movies sometimes are challenging for me because I will watch something and then I'll just think about it every day. Like Beef, you know, I like constantly think about it. Like it's, you know, like what was the Emma Stone movie, Poor Things?
Yes.
Like, you know, it just stays with me for so long. So it's just sometimes it's like harder for me to watch that.
I
kind
love
of
that.
Stuff.
So TikTok all day.
TikTok all day. Yeah.
That's crazy because to our point earlier, it's like don't romanticize the distribution of
yep.
like no one is gate holding your ability to storytell.
It's
or
you
be
and
compelling.
The audience.
Yeah, 100%.
So what are you consuming?
I only typically will turn something on like when I'm eating. And so usually I just throw on the Golf Channel. I recently got into golf, by the way, I should preface.
Yeah. My brother's so into it right
really?
Now.
Really? I've only been playing for 9 months, and it's been amazing, and it's actually led to so many opportunities in the business space,
nice.
In the opportunity space. So yeah, I'll throw
Golf
that
Channel.
On, and but it's cool because there's a huge, I guess, there's a lot of lessons to be learned right now because there's a huge PGA and LIV, and there's different things going on. So there's a lot of business that can actually be learned while I'm watching golf and just seeing how they maneuver it. And they're pro athletes, which I love to learn from. Anybody at the top of their game, I love to learn and study, similar to like the For You page. These are the top creators,
top of
the right?
Game.
So
yeah,
it's just
the top athletes
yeah,
on TikTok.
Watching
it's
the
true.
Top people in the world.
It's true.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think what I'm consuming most is because I'm a lot in the car driving is like listening to podcasts and
yep.
motivational speeches. I have to thank you because I was listening. It's a while ago, so I can't exactly tell you
yep.
the date, but you were talking about legalization of, for example, an Uber,
yes.
a company like Uber. And I was like, if you said, if that's your strategy, that's the worst strategy you can have. I was like, wow. And then like a little bit later, so it's like already some years ago, a company approached me, which I'm now shareholder in as well. And it's called Knaka Settle, in which does crypto to cash.
Mm.
And that was so interesting. I was like, but now everybody's like, ooh, crypto.
Yeah,
I don't know. And I was like, no, but if like you said, like if legalization is the thing that's holding you back, somewhere down the road is gonna happen.
That's right.
So
people,
I jumped
the
in.
The incumbents that try to hold you up and use government, you know, obviously, actually, I see a lot of people in the chat right now, big conversation we'll get into in a second, but I'm glad you took that nugget. People don't think about 2, 4, 6 years out.
Yeah.
Everyone's very transactional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love what you said when you were talking about, like, I know we'll get there. The number one thing that has stopped so many brands in alcohol in America
yeah.
from getting there is how fragmented state by state laws are.
Yeah.
How much leverage the consolidated wholesalers have. When you're a little brand, it's tough to get their attention.
I mean, the distributors, like, they could care less. But the thing is, I know that, like, there's a way, right?
Of course.
You know what
well,
I mean? You just gotta figure it out.
I know how you think about it.
Yeah.
Just by listening to you a little bit. You know that if you get the end consumer to care about it,
yeah.
it's gonna force the distributors and the liquor stores to carry it.
Yeah. We have a very community approach. Like, we're building from the bottom up versus like celebrity driven brands that are, you know, which
well,
are amazing as well.
No, I would argue celebrity driven brands have built from the bottom up too. They're just cashing in on all the work they already did.
Yeah, but I guess you're already starting out with that, right? We
yeah,
didn't start out with
no, but Kevin Hart fucking did four fucking club events a night for 13 fucking years before he got his first TV gig that later, ate shit for 22 years for him to be able to be like, now buy my fucking shit.
Yeah.
So I actually argue, especially the ones that have really won, when I think about Ryan Reynolds and The Rock and Kevin Hart, talking about people that fucking grinded.
Yeah.
For
years. I don't mean like from a working.
I know. But I'm actually making a different point.
Yeah.
I know that you weren't like razzing.
Of course.
I'm saying that, ironically, you're just doing the same exact thing. You're starting it at a different point.
Yeah.
They're creating an alcohol brand 15, 20 years after Leverage.
Yeah.
You're taking a skill set that you've learned in the last decade and deploying it against something that has more economics against it, like a consumer packaged good.
Yeah, exactly. Great, you wanna be my next investor?
Coach? Listen, I didn't get here by being strong or handsome. Yeah. I got here with my brains. All right, so what else is, like, actually I'll tell you what I'm consuming with. I love this new app called Break the Web. It's really interesting. It's basically trending. It's AI against the entire web. Oh, it's sick. Twitter trending topics and TikTok for you culture, just with a little bit more of just analytics. Like right now, SpaceX Starship or bobblehead heist. Like this is literally the 12th most conversation on all news outlets. Jaromir Jagr had a Pittsburgh Penguin giveaway. It was postponed because people stole it, I guess. Like, I also want to always know what's going on. So shit like that gets me excited, where as AI technology advances, this is now doing for the entire web what I used to get from Twitter trending topics.
That's sick. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's cool. What about your, actually, here's a good one. What is something that you would say that happened in pop culture that was instrumental in your life? Whether it was like a Harry Potter movie, or when a famous person got kidnapped, or when, you know, hopefully something a little more positive, like, you know, like when Disney World opened in Paris. I don't know, like what you got, I think you got something. Something came to mind?
Yeah, maybe if we can stretch the pop culture, but for me, it was the pandemic period where everything was completely changed up and it.
How'd you deal with the first week of COVID? First week?
With confusion, and I didn't know what I was and what I wasn't allowed to do and where I was and wasn't allowed to go. As a matter of fact, we were in the middle of a scene, like not on lunch or not like.
Like actually in the middle of a scene.
Like actually in the middle of a scene, someone rushed in and said, hey.
Everyone has to go home.
Everyone stop. And like we were doing our lines, like shooting it. We got to go home right now. That's we have to shut it down. So it was just like, oh no, like what is really going on? So it was a lot of confusion at first. And then after a week or two of being like, this is great because like I am just chilling. It was like, okay, cool. This is a really pivotal moment in like time where there's going to be a lot of time to self-reflect and either self-develop or be self-aware and figure out that you are more of a passive person opposed to an active player. And for me, I found out that I'm very much an active player. That's when I started streaming, live streaming on Twitch. I've been doing it for 4 years now. And we actually, at one time, I was grinding it so hard, I became like one of the top 100 streamers or top 300, but it's out of 8 million streamers.
So fun.
And it was
fun. What were you doing on streaming?
I was loosely streaming a game called Fortnite, but I was doing a ton of this. It was just chatting under the cloak of, hey, I'm playing a video game, but it was inviting. And it was a chance for me to put on a show, for me to be an actor, a producer, a director, lighting, sound, costume. I was the guy.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool.
And it was great. And I still stream on there today. So it really taught me my skill set was much more profound than perhaps I'd initially given myself credit for.
Good for you. Anything come to mind as a kid or teenager?
Yeah, actually it does.
By the way, back to fighting, if I may. One of the most significant moments of my entire life happened the night Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
I was so shocked. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. I was 15 or 14. I just could not believe it. I literally didn't go to school on Monday. He lost on Saturday night. It was Tokyo. It got
you were like
aired.
Devastated for a few days.
There was no internet, so I didn't even know it was coming. Like I was devastated. And once I got down from the shock, it just kind of reinforced something I intuitively knew, which was like, nothing is guaranteed. Yeah. It was just a very big moment. I think about it a lot, actually, randomly. I don't know if my body had ever been more shook. You know, obviously there's been big events, 9/11. Yeah, of course, I was very close to COVID. There's some real serious shit, but like from something that's a little bit more pop culture mundane, I was so taken aback. I just could not believe it. Yeah. It was just like a big moment for me in my childhood.
Wow.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so actually, while you was asking the question, I was thinking about it, and for me, what literally came up was actually pretty funny because, and I'm still a huge fan of the movie The Lion King. I'm forcing the Disney movie The Lion King on my kids because I still like it. And I literally watched it so many times when I was a kid.
This is
like,
amazing.
Like my mom.
By the way,
my mom,
do you know do you know that I went to The Lion King on a date because I was in high school and cried when the dad died?
Yeah.
Which pretty much
my
ended.
My parents took me to The Lion King and I cried too. They had to like take me out.
Yeah.
Because I was too upset.
When the dad died, I cried. With Simba's dad, what was his name? Fucking
Mufasa.
When Mufasa dies, I am a senior in high school on a date with a girl like that I like. Yeah. Start crying seriously.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah. So, but
today it would have completely locked it in.
Oh yeah,
back 100%. Then it was the 90s in Jersey. They're like, they're pussing the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, so.
But I never wavered. I didn't try to hold back the tears either.
No.
I was like, fuck it.
Did you
it.
Go on a second date?
No.
No.
Like I lost. But like, she really lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. No, so, but like thinking about that, I think that movie has so much in it.
Truth.
Yeah.
Truth. Perseverance. Overcoming. And finding out who you really are in life.
Yeah.
I think it's such an interesting journey. And I'm literally like, this is what's coming up right now. I literally never thought of this, but you asking that question was exactly the right question right now to ask. And for me thinking about it, this is what came up. So it's, I love it. And I still, I watched that movie.
Do you know
like
what the 2 weeks were that The Lion King would be the most profound thing of everyone's day that's here and on stream? Like the odds of like, I'm so happy right now. This is how I think about life.
Yeah.
Like I think about like dialogue. This is why I want this format of just like chopping it up. Oh, speaking of which, I got a fun little game before we wrap up the show. These are my V friends. So I, back to Lion King and inventing a world. I created this world called V Friends. There's a kid's book coming out. You're looking at it.
Sick.
Launched with NFTs. Now it's trading cards and toys and all sorts of stuff. I want you to open up this pack, look at the four cards, and tell me which character you most associate with.
Love it.
And why.
This is sick.
Ooh, I gotta
open this up or?
You never open up cards in your life? You just bash people?
It's a long time ago. It was a Pokemon.
I didn't open Pokemon, I just bashed boys for their Pokemon.
Ah, come on.
I'm kidding. Ooh, you got a good card in there. But look at it, okay. Really try to, man, I got some good ones. Okay, I'm gonna give you a few more seconds to look at the characters. Look, oh, very good.
I got mine.
Man, I got two that I'm really struggling with, but I'm gonna go with this. All right. Jilly, start us off.
I guess this, I don't know which camera.
Don't worry, the mink?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's body blue, first off, so it's on brand. I like to keep everything really, I'm very thoughtful about every single
aesthetics.
Thing. Yes, very thoughtful about aesthetics. But
I think aesthetics are very profound for those who are all in, mm-hmm. and incredibly misunderstood by those who don't like think about it.
Yeah, like I can't even buy a nightstand unless it's like I could never. I'd have to like think about. I've got it's got to have
think
like
think about everything.
I you mean, feng shui it style or is it more
no,
aesthetically,
it's aesthetically
needs to play?
Yeah, even like everything I wear, like I'm very particular about. Doesn't matter, like, it's not about, like, a price thing or, like, a designer thing. Right. It's, like, I just...
How you like the look of it.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
What I want, like,
so this
me.
You pick not on the character or the like, the style.
Well, also, like, I like the eyes. I think the eyes are curious. I think I'm pretty curious.
So you want visual.
Yeah.
You want visual.
Wow.
All right.
Very visual.
Go ahead.
Compassionate catfish.
Okay.
It just so happens to have the highest score out of all the cards. So maybe subconsciously, I just wanted to dominate that.
Yep.
Stamina is also the highest, so that's pretty cool. I think at the root of compassion is understanding and empathy.
Yes.
And I think at the root of understanding and empathy is self-awareness and a journey. However old you are, that many years has gone into you developing your sense of style and eyes and mind and touch and feel. It's you. So at the root of it all, it was loving people. And I think that's why compassionate catfish was the one that I went with.
Nice. Reek?
Well, I don't know why, but for some kind of reason there was...
This is amazing.
The versatile Viking was in it.
Look at the Viking.
You got the holographic.
Bro, you are the versatile Viking.
You got the holographic.
Look at this. Look at not only that, but look at the body of the versatile. Yeah. He's actually the versatile
That's
Viking.
It.
Yeah. So I don't know how this happened, but everything happens for a reason.
I love
so
it.
So he has his hands up.
And by the way, back to like the trait, you actually are starting the journey into more versatility.
Yeah.
You've done a core thing for a while.
Yeah.
So not only do you have the same abs, chest, and arms as this man, you just need to grow out the facial hair.
A little bit. A little bit. Not too much.
I love that.
But it's,
mine was...
It's so dope. He has his hands up. He's a winner. And I think with that mindset, I go into life.
Yeah, just, let's go.
But with that mindset of wanting and trying... and willing to be a winner, I'm not afraid to fail. Because from all the moments you fail haven't been successful, you've learned so much and I've gained so much.
When was the first time you lost a fight? Coming up the ranks.
No, I was so young. I think I was around 11 uh-huh. or 12
and?
Or something.
Because for you to be this big time of a champion, there's natural talent. So it's not like you lost your first 10 fights. Like you were winning a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then you finally lost.
Yeah.
And like, how did it go down in your own mind? Do you remember?
That was actually also the moment that my dad brought me to another gym because I just outgrew the small gym he was teaching in. So, and from that moment on, we just kept on building the brand. And
what's the toughest loss of your career?
The toughest loss? That's a good question. The toughest loss. I think that was the year before I became champion. And I lost from the guy that was dominating the sport for the last 5 years.
And what was his name?
Semi Shield. And he's, I don't know, seven something. He's huge, 100. 35. If you think I'm big, I'm small next to that guy. So I was literally, I was fighting him. I was like staring up, like, and in my mind, like, I'm gonna smash you. But it's a difficult thing, like looking up to somebody. I was like, I'm gonna smash you today. So, and I think that literally hurt.
Did you get knocked out? Or
no, I lost on points. But the beautiful thing was, like,
were you hurt in the fight?
No. Yeah. Well, I just lost on points. He was so much better. But like, he became champion again that evening, and after the fight, he passed my dressing room and like I gave him the nod. And he nodded back. He went out with the big belt and the big check, and then he walked back. But he. I told the story so many times, so probably he knows now, but he didn't know back then like how much that moment impacted me. Mm. Because he came back into my dressing room. He said, like, Rico, I just wanted to tell you. He said, like, you won my toughest fight tonight. He had four fights that night, so it was a 60-man tournament. It was insane. And he said, I was the youngest competitor, and he said, like, you won my toughest fight. I said, I don't know when, but within 1 or 2 years, you're gonna become world champion. I'm 100% sure. And he retired, and the year afterwards, I became world champion. So I don't know if he was a visionary or something.
I wanna jump in on this. You've talked a lot about a lot of kindness and things of nature. I really love that story. I think about that a lot. I love giving flowers to people.
Me too.
I really do. And I don't understand how people don't understand. That gentleman coming back for what probably was another 1 minute of a conversation and then leaving, changed the trajectory of your life potentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If, yeah. And if it didn't, even if you yeah. he never did that, you would have went on probably to do your thing. Yeah. It still is a nice moment that you're now telling 10 years later.
Yeah.
Somebody stopped. I was having a lemonade stand on Tingley Lane in Edison, New Jersey in 1985. I was 10. And a guy stopped, a bicyclist stopped and took out his water bottle, and we were selling for 25 cents. And he goes, "I'll give you 10 bucks if you fill this up." The guy said, "I'll give you." It was already filled up. That's how hyped I was. I fully had it full and
hit. Yeah.
That was 38 years ago. I just told that story.
Yeah.
It forever affected me. It was yeah. affirmation yeah. that I was a businessman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually did. Mm. Now I just thought about it. I actually did the same thing like
recently.
I called the guy I was fighting with in the finals. I called him. He's such a nice guy. I said, "Yo, man," I said, but he doesn't have my number. So I asked him his number. I said, yo, this his name is Levi. "Yo, Levi, this is Rico." "Yo, Rico, what's up, man?" "Yeah, man, I'm literally just calling just to check in to see how you're doing. I just want to tell you, like, I'm super proud of you, because I already told him, like, he has so much potential of being a good fighter and becoming a star. And I said, I'm so proud of you. You did so well, and you surprised me. You surprised me with that spinning back fist, and I take my hat off to you. And I know, I don't know, this wasn't your moment, but
it will come.
Yeah, it will come, 100%. Awesome. So he was so thankful of that, for that as well. And it's just like I said,
right? It's when you get flowers, you get flowers. Yeah. Yeah. Julie, what would you like everyone to know before we get out of here? I want to give you a few seconds to find your vodka or check out your videos.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give you a few seconds to
you can go to Drink Body, which is our Instagram and TikTok, and follow us there. It has all the info where we're sold. And then
what states are you in at this point in the U.S.?
Right now we're in Chicago or Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, New York, Connecticut, Jersey, Texas.
And who's your distributor in Jersey? Angeles. Do you know?
Jersey, we are in the process of moving, so we'll talk about that with you later.
Understood.
And then my personal is just Jilly Hendricks, so I post about vodka and other fun things I'm doing.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think where I would love to see you guys would be on Twitch. I live stream over there, Cloudus on Twitch, and Billy Bob, Corso, Petey. It'd mean a lot. I do a lot of introspective conversations and tie it all back in. So if perhaps you think it's just going to be video games, I promise you it's not.
I love it.
Yeah, so I think the best thing is just I want to leave you guys with something, and just follow your heart. Do what you want to do in life. And I think that's the best thing and the most beautiful thing you can do. And don't let anybody tell you anything else. Just do things because you want to do it, and not because people expect certain things from you.
Or you're trying to impress someone that's not yourself.
Exactly.
Because let me promise you, there's a lot of wisdom in this episode. When you get to 70, 80, 90, that regret is gonna eat you alive. When I tell you, the regret of 70, 80, 90 year olds who I spend time talking to is the great fear of my life, besides the health of myself and my family.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be in a world where I say, "I wish that I."
No, I really.
But like, I see somebody said what my card was. My card, I was debating between the passionate parrot, because I'm fucking passionate, but the persistent penguin. I'm really persistent. Like, I really chip away. Like, when I want to accomplish something, I really value my persistence, because I think grit and persistence and my incredible love affair with being uncomfortable makes me very happy. And I think right now the world, especially a lot of youngsters, and when I say youngsters, I mean the 15 to 40 year old set, not Gen Alpha. I'm talking 15 to 40. I think the youngsters, a lot of them don't believe that they should be uncomfortable. They misunderstand when someone says, "Follow your passion, do your thing." When you follow your passion and do your thing, 80% of it is eating shit for the first 5 years.
Yeah.
And people become so allergic to micro discomforts.
Yeah.
And perseverance and grit have come out of fashion. and it's created an enormous ecosystem of entitlement, because the world is incredibly amazing right now and there is speed to everything. And like I think as an 80s baby, I got lucky. Like if you missed your favorite TV show because your parents made you go to like the parents teacher conference and you missed like the Wonder Years, you had to wait to the summer and get lucky on reruns to see the episode you missed to the whole thing. Now it's like you can have anything. Like literally, yeah. You know how insane that is?
Yeah.
Like you would have a favorite show in 1987. Your parents are like, we're going out to dinner. They're like, no. You're like, yeah. I gotta watch the episode. They're like, no. And like you had to go out, miss it, and then wait 4.5 months to hope and pray reruns came up and you would get lucky to catch it.
Yeah. But I do have to say that an important thing is that when we tell you like follow your passion, is that nowadays what the youth has to deal with is social media and
judgment.
It's judgment of everybody. But the most important thing is like you do stuff, you make the content, you post the stuff that you're posting because you like it
100%.
And not because you're looking for
outside validation.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the biggest
issue. That's the most important thing.
Life is a basic game of self-esteem versus insecurity.
Yeah.
Once that's wrapped, once you can win that game to a level that works for you, it's over. Everything's easy. Everything's easy when you live your life as if you're the only person on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything's easy. I literally think that way. I'm like, back to compassionate catfish, the only thing I have for people that shit on me in the chat and on social is compassion.
Yeah.
Could you imagine living a life where you take your time to go around and try to make people feel bad?
Yeah.
You were actually living the single worst life on earth.
Yeah.
I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, don't feel bad for you. Don't feel bad for you. Feel bad for them. There is a human laying in their bed right now or on the bus or driving like at a stoplight who has such unhappiness that they need to deploy unhappiness on someone else for a micro moment.
Feeling of better.
That's right. Yeah. That is, I feel devastated for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always tell my kids to like, you have to feel sorry for those people because I said, you don't have to tear nobody down to feel better yourself.
100%.
The only thing you have to do is build others up.
100%.
Try to build everybody up.
By the way, this is the perfect way to end. The only reason I changed my podcast to Podcast with Friends is to put you guys on. My great hope is that a distributor in Texas, Specs, is watching this right now. I know what my reach is, you know, over a period of 6 months. Like, I'm hoping that a casting agent's like, we need a fucking handsome, chiseled, Viking-like man to be the star of a movie. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
One thing I wanted to add to you about the trying things or about posting on social media is, like, I used to use Instagram and all that as, like, a test to see what was working, what I liked doing. Did I feel like this was something I was passionate about? I tried everything out on social first before I put it into motion.
Yeah.
And I think people are afraid to put it out there because of the judgment.
I love that.
But it's like, just do it anyway, and you're going to learn so much about what you like, what you want to do, who you are, and all of that. So,
I love
but
you
you're
for
such,
that.
You're such an inspiration that. Because... because
you two should fight.
Yeah.
Who do you think will win?
Oh my God. I would just like go in the corner.
Yeah. No, because like, what you're saying is like, hey, I've been trying so many things.
Yeah.
And... you're literally just doing it, and that's the scariest thing that everybody's.
It's my number one. You literally do two things that I really adore. One, lack the fear of the judgment of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And two, tasting shit. My number one advice for everybody 15 to 25 that's watching this right now is understand before you're 35, do as many random fucking things as humanly possible to see the thing that really gets you fucking going.
Yeah, and then you like, feel good about doing, because some stuff brings you money, but you don't feel good about it.
Correct. And by the way, the way the world's structured now with social, the thing that you love doing, if you do it for 12 hours a day because you love it so much, finds a way of making you money.
Yeah.
Anyway, 100%. Thank you for being on, everyone.
Thank
pleasure.
You so
thank you so much.